Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts. If you'd like to share your comments, give us a hot news tip, or get involved in the show, contact us. Our phone number is 604-822-5334, or you can email news@citr.ca. Brad Pepping produced this radio program. For more news, join us next Friday at 5 p.m. for another edition of News 101. I'm Megan Turcato. For the entire news team here at CITR, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM CITR.
Welcome to Career Fast Track. I'm your host, Philippe DeRocher, also known as Dr. Career. It's good to have you here with us, joining us all new, brand new show. Excerpts from my new book, 99 Things You Wish You Knew Before Giving Up on Your Dream Job. Not yet released, but however, as a loyal listener, I will reveal the dream job quiz. That's right, I introduce for the very first time a dream job quiz in the book. And today I'm going to be sharing with you the 15 questions that I ask to determine whether or not you have what it takes to go after your dream job. And it's important that by the end of today's radio show, you're going to have an opportunity to actually have a score. So I'm going to ask you to follow along and to actually identify your score so that you're able to identify whether you fall in the lower, the mid, or the high end in terms of your ability to move forward in your dream job. Now, if you are in the low end, in the midpoint, I am going to be also revealing strategies next week on how you can take it to the next level, meaning strategies to work with where you're currently at. And so that I'm excited about that. Please, thank you for joining us. Of course, you know Career Fast Track's all about making lots of good money. Nothing wrong with money, doing what you love. And it's an art and it's a science. And there's two components behind it. And I've been spending a lot of time researching that area. And one of the things I'm most excited about sharing with you these days is the research I spent on the last 6 months in writing the book. Of course, and if you've ever written a book, you know that when you write, you do a lot of research, or you back check a lot of your facts, found a lot of very interesting information, including the 15 questions. That's right, I summarized the entire book into 15 questions, which would help me determine whether or not you have what it takes to land your dream job. I'm going to go through each question, and then during that opportunity or during that, I want you to answer each question on a scale of 1 to 10. So here's how it's going to work. There's 15 questions. The first 12 questions are all on a scale of 1 to 10. And I'm going to ask you to rate on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being you, well, strongly disagree, and 10 being you strongly agree. Okay, so 1 being you strongly disagree, and 10 being you strongly disagree. And the last three questions, 13, 14, 15, are going to be also on a scale of 1 to 10. But so what will happen is, well, I'll explain at the end. So let's just start. 15 questions. Each question I'm going to explain a bit on the air so that you understand what it is I'm asking. Shall we get started? Yeah, I agree. Let's get going here. You want to find out if you have what it takes. And if you don't, we'll show you what it takes. You know what your natural born talents are. Now, there's an assessment out there, which I love right now, called Strengths Finder. There's a new book out there called Strengths Finder 2.0 based on Gallup. You know Gallup, they do Gallup polls. Well, Gallup has a recent book called Strengths Finder out there, or Strengths Finder 2.0, and you can buy it. And in the back flap is a code to do the assessment. From there, you identify your top five strengths, which are out of a list of 34. Now, I did it before doing the show, and I love this assessment. Why? It's all positive. There's nothing to work on. In fact, after you read it, you feel so good about yourself, you can't believe you're not perfect. In fact, you're so excited that it just completely asks you or forces you to focus on only what it is you do well, as opposed to areas where you need to grow. Now, I believe in growing in terms of improving, but really, if you want to be an expert in one lifetime, like if you've got three lifetimes and you figured out how to do that, then maybe you can work on your weaknesses, but I've only figured out how to be an expert in one lifetime by focusing on my strengths. So, you know what your natural born talents are. One is you have no idea. You do not agree with that. I have no idea what my natural born talents are. Maybe you have an idea. Maybe you have, you know, two of them, maybe three of them. And you say, well, I don't know exactly. I don't know everything. A good number is five. Do you know what your five top talents are? If you know what five top talents are, then I would probably put around eight or nine. If you maybe know one or two, maybe you're around a three or four. So I want you to score yourself because we're going to be adding these numbers up. Okay. So question number one is, you know what your natural born talents are. Agree or disagree? Question number two, you've identified the interests you have when you're completely in your element. You have identified the interests you have when you are completely in your element. There's actually a new book out there called The Element, which is when you're doing an activity, you completely lose track of time. Now, you've heard this before. So what's so special about it? Well, I've learned that knowing when you lose track of time is easier than figuring out creatively how you can make money doing that. For the sake of today, I'm not asking you to think about how you could earn money when you lose track of time. I just want you to think about when it is you lose track of time. Later in the show and next week's show, we'll be talking about strategies to transfer that skill set into an area where you're actually earning some income. So question number two is, you've identified the interests you have when you are completely in your element. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being you disagree with that statement and 10 being you strongly agree. So for example, if you might say, well, I know that I lose track of time when I'm playing video games. And then it's not enough to just say I lose track of time when I play video games, because you might say, well, then that means I should work for a video game company or... But that's not enough. You have to ask yourself, why am I interested in video games? That's the next stage. So you've got to really ask yourself, why are you interested in video games? Why do you think you lose track of time when you're actually playing? That's the key to this question. And I don't see a lot of people asking that specific question. If you're just joining us now, you are listening to Career Fast Track 101.9 FM in Vancouver. I'm your host, Philippe Desrochers, also known as Dr. Career. We are going to be podcasting, rather this show. We will be podcasting this show on CITR.ca, also on the accompanying website, drcareer.com, dr-career.com. I will also have, this is a little bonus for you, the listener, because I like you. We're going to put the dream job quiz in on my blog. And so just go to the website, dr-career.com. It's not there yet. Don't go yet. By the end of today, I'll put it up so that you can take the assessment and have it for you. And you can also pass it on to a friend. For free, because it's in the blog. So, you know, here's the third question. So we're talking here about the dream job quiz, 15 questions to figure out if you have what it takes to land your dream job. And I'm going to tell you at the end what your score should be, not should be, which I figured out that if your score is lower than this number, then you're really at a disadvantage and you've got a lot of work to do. If it's above that, well, you're at a better place. And so most people obviously I work with are below the number, but it's interesting to notice how close you are to that number as well. That's also uplifting. So question number three, you know how to convert your talents and interests into earning great money. You know how to convert your talents and interests into great money. If you're currently earning a lot of money and you do not enjoy it, or you maybe are good at it, but you're not interested in it, that's not enough. I'm talking about having talent and interest in it. I call it the sweet spot, the crossover between talents and interest, and earning great money doing what you love. It's not enough to just be good at something to earn a lot of money. You've also got to like it. By the way, you may not know this, it's very possible to find work you love, rather to do well in a position, make lots of money, but hate it. And I see that a lot, and that's not the mandate for the show. So on a scale of 1 to 10, have you figured out a way to convert your talents and your interests into earning great money? Here's a tip. It's one of the chapters in the book, 99 Things You Wish You Knew Before Giving Up on Your Dream Job. Not available yet, but I'm giving you the sneak peek on the book. Of course, you can Google it if you're interested in learning more. When I work with individuals one-on-one, I have figured out that every dream job comes down to four, making an initial first choice. And so most people say, well, where do I start in finding my dream job? Well, you start with asking yourself whether you are most interested in a skill, an industry, a culture, or a company. For example, I am interested in doing math. Whatever I'm doing in the job, I've got to be working with numbers, for example. That would be a skill that you want to do. You don't know what industry, you don't know what kind of culture, and you have no idea what company, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. You only have to pick one. You might say, well, I don't know what I'm good at, but I love the lifestyle, the yoga industry, the health industry. You don't know what skills you can do. You don't know what kind of culture you would fit into, nor company that you could work for, but you know that you like that industry. That's enough at this point. Number three, culture. You might not know what skill to use. You might not know if you're good at marketing, good at sales, good at numbers, good at managing. You might not know what industry you particularly like. You don't know if it's in telecommunications or healthcare, but you do know that you want to be working for a company that is smallish, maybe 10 to 15 people, that is maybe has a broad range of people from maybe early 20s to all the way up to 50, so you can be excited by the young and motivated and mentored by the old. And but you don't know what company has that. So as long as you have an idea of the culture, that's enough. And some people I work with, they literally say, I don't care as long as it's Toyota. I don't know what skill I have. I don't know what industry I'm particularly interested in. I don't know what culture I like. All I know is that I like Toyota. Why? Maybe I own their products, or my father used to work for the company. My mother used to work for the company. And so you know how to convert your talents and interests into earning great money. If you currently are making great money using your talents and your interests, you're obviously at a 9 or a 10. If you are earning a lot of money and you're not interested in it, you have your talent and you're making money, maybe you're around a 6. But if you're making little money, you hate your job and you're no good at it, you're more around a 3. And so I give you a little bonus information there I want to give you is, how can you figure out how to earn great money in your talents and your interests is by picking whether it's a skill, industry, culture, or company you want to start with. Okay, we're moving on to question number 4. You know which market sectors are hiring and growing. You know which market sectors are hiring and growing. So if you have no idea whether there's hiring going on in healthcare, or you have no idea if there's hiring going on in oil and gas industry, if you have no idea if they're hiring in retail, then you're most likely going to be around a 2 or 3. If you have an idea that, let's say, the import of wine is, the industry is growing very fast, say importing wine from Singapore, then you know that's a growing industry. You could put that as a 7 or an 8. So the question is, do you know which sector, market sectors are hiring and growing? For example, a place I'll tell you where to look for that is the Occupational Handbook. Listen, I cannot find good information in Canada, the United States. Google Occupational Handbook. It gives you the growth trends for positions from 2006 to 2016. And one of the most interesting pieces of information is around 80% of positions in growth in the United States are in healthcare. And a lot, it's similar to us here as well. Even though it's funny how the money comes from different places, healthcare growth here is very high. IT is another sector that's growing a lot. Now you might say, well, I'm not a computer programmer. It doesn't matter. If you're in business, for example, if you're an accountant, you can work for an IT company because these IT organizations hire the full spectrum, even a marketer. So can you see how an organization literally appeals to all the business units? Question number 5. Hope you're writing these down because we're going to be adding these in a moment. Are you good at making decisions and do not procrastinate on career changes? On making career changes. Are you good at making decisions and do not procrastinate on making career changes? So if you procrastinate a lot and are poor at making decisions in your career, you're around a one or a two. If you're decisive in decision making, you're focused and you follow through on it, then you're more like a seven or an eight. So this is an important note. Pay a special note to this. Procrastination is either one of two things I've learned in working with people. Procrastination is either fear. So you're maybe afraid of making a move because maybe you're going to fail. And that's one kind of procrastination. And the other is that you really don't want it. Maybe it's because somebody else wants it. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you're procrastinating and moving forward in your career, is it because you're afraid or is it because you don't really want it? Maybe it's your mother wants it for you, your father, your uncle. And that's really important because the moment you realize that it's not what you want, then you've got a different strategy than figuring out that it's actually fear, because you deal with the fear of procrastination much differently than you would than I don't want it. And that's the kind of stuff I think I want to cover next week on the show. Okay, you're listening to Career Fast Track 101.9 FM in Vancouver. We're going through the Dream Job Quiz, all 15 questions. Be on the podcast, and it'll be also on our at the accompanying website, www.dr-career.com. Also podcasted at www.citr.ca. Back, Philippe Durocher, Career Fast Track, after the break. During the break, I want you to ask yourself the questions I've been asking you. How is it, what's it getting going in your brain? Is your brain working? And when we come back, I want to hear from you. If you have any thoughts, give me a call. 604-822-2487, 604-822-2487. In the meantime, I'm looking for my podcasts here. This is what I'm doing while I talk. This is how it works. You hope to find your podcast. Why is a podcast not here? Here we go. And enjoy. Here we go, community. There we go. Minute 10. Enjoy. Back. Minute 10. Don't go anywhere.
That ship out there will be smashed to bits. Use your emergency equipment.
It won't work. Nothing works. It's got to. It's no use. Everything seems to be stuck.
My life's worth a try anyway.
Come on, fellas. You can make it.
Just listen to this. Spider-Man saves freighter. You can't tell me the captain couldn't have brought his ship in without the help of that publicity-seeking show-off, Spider-Man!
Don't get caught wasting power. Unplug cell phone, camera, and other battery chargers when charging is complete. Many electronic devices continue to use power even when you are not operating them. The amount of energy consumed by electronics in a year when they were not in use could power Whistler Blackcomb Resorts for 43 years. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
We're back. You're listening to Career Fast Track 101.9 FM or online at www.citr.ca. If you haven't got us every Monday morning, you can check us out in 24 hours. We have our column in there. Last week's column was on the Dream Job Quiz. I received the most emails I've ever received in the 2 years in writing the column, and it was because I had included in the, as the column, a Dream Job Quiz. 15 questions you can ask yourself, add up the scores, and determine whether or not you have what it takes to land your dream job. We're moving now on to question number 6. If you've missed it so far and just joining us, we will be podcasting this show, and also we will be putting it on the blog at www.dr-career.com. Question number 6. You know how to use fear to your advantage. So if fear debilitates you, you're probably around a 1 or a 2, meaning it actually freezes you, or 9 and 10, it actually motivates you, then you'd put 9 or 10. And so I'm just going to leave it at that. So how do you use fear? Do you strongly agree that you use fear to your advantage? 1 or 2, you don't. 9 or 10, you do, or in between. Question number 7. You know how to brand yourself so that you stand out from the competition. Now, you hear a lot about this, but the problem is I've never been able to help anyone figure out how they're different from someone they don't know. I don't know, because every time I'll ask them, well, how are you different from others? They'd say, I don't know how I'm different from others. I don't even know myself. How can I know someone else? And so I figured out the only way to figure out what your brand is to focus on what it is you do well. And that's why the StrengthsFinder assessment I love so much is because it focuses on what you do well, whether or not others do it well or not. It doesn't matter. Do not compare yourself to others when it comes to what you do well. Now, you can benchmark yourself to others, meaning, oh, I notice in a group setting I do this well, or I notice when we go out to a movie or when I plan for an event with friends, I do this well, I organize well. Or maybe at the end of a dinner, you calculate the tip quickly and easily without using the tipinator on the iPhone. You know, you've got certain skill sets that come out naturally. That's okay to benchmark. But you cannot compare yourself and saying I'm worse than or better than. It's just that in terms of I'm less talented, I'm more talented than someone else. It's just important for you to realize how you stand out from others around you in that it is your natural gifts. And these natural gifts are really clear. So if you have no idea how you're different from your friends, from your colleagues at work, you're around a two or a three. If you've got a really good understanding of you do really good minutes at the end of the meeting, if you are very good at giving sales presentations, if you are really clear that you greet customers with a certain level of customer service that surpasses those of your peers and you're more around a 7 or an 8, if you're a superstar, maybe you've been acknowledged by your boss on a couple of occasions, you're a 9 or a 10. Question number 8, you know who you need to talk to in order to get an interview. If you apply for a position through a posting, it's HR. But the strategy I'm talking about here is it's the non-HR strategy. So what manager, what director, what VP, what president do you want to talk to? Do you know exactly who it is you need to speak to? If it's the wrong person, you're not going to get anywhere. And if it's HR, you're not going to get anywhere if you're making the dial. I've never once landed a position where I've actually applied for the position. I've always done what I call the pre-approach or the pre-sale. I walk in and I introduce myself and I ask this to learn about the position. And this strategy works really, really well. You have to know who it is. It's often the manager or the director. Here's your tip. You might say, well, this isn't such a brain child. It isn't, but it takes moving mountains to get you to make the phone call. In fact, in my office, I actually have people. I'll actually close the door and I say, are you ready? Do you want to make the phone call with me right now in the room? Otherwise, you might not get it done. And often they'll say panicky and they'll say, yes, let's do it. And I've had so many people book interviews in my office because I force them to make the phone call. And many have landed dream jobs and spoken to senior people in senior organizations. So often what it is you ask or you put the department's name in front of the word director. So for example, the marketing director, the finance director, the accounting director. So that typically could be the person you want to speak to when it comes to interviews or in order to call an organization to book an interview. So if you have no idea who the person is you need to talk to and you don't even know what company you want to call, obviously you're on a two or a three. If you know what company you want to work, you want to approach, but you don't know what department, you might be around a five. But if you know what firm you want and the actual position of the person you want and more specifically the name, you're more around a 9 or a 10. Question number 9, you know how to approach key decision makers and land an interview. You know how to approach employers and actually land an interview by either walking in or phoning them or networking with them. So cold approach, networking and dropping in, rather cold approach, calling in and dropping in and networking, which can be a little bit of a warmer approach. By the way, if you're just joining us, we are covering the Dream Job Quiz, the 15 questions you must answer to determine whether or not you fit the profile of a dream job lander. Question number 9 is how you know how to approach key decision makers and land an interview. If you have no idea what words that should come out of your mouth in order to book an interview, then you're around a 2 or 3. If you've already booked meetings in the past with key decision makers, you're more around a 7 or 8, possibly a 9 if you've landed several. Here's a tip. Whenever you're dealing with an employer and you want to have them meet with you, tell them this. When you say these words, their heart just flutters. They get butterflies in their belly and their knees go weak. Just say, I love the work you do, or I love your organization, or I've done a lot of research and I love what I see. I'd be very interested in meeting with you to talk about opportunities. When you say love, oh my goodness, just picture this. You run a company and you have some person walk in, well presented, speaks clearly, nice smile, and says, I've done a lot of research on your organization or on this industry. I love the work you do. Can I come in and talk to you about opportunities? I just had to come in and tell you this. Now you might say, well, that's not my personality. Well, then say it in a different way, but use the same words, would you? Would you please use the word love? I did this and I figured this out during the One Day Dream Job Challenge. I bring people into the city to do and land work in one day. And we figured out that if you walk in and you say, well, once you speak to the decision maker and you say, I love the work you do, or I've done a lot of research and I love what you do, your odds of booking a meeting go way up dramatically. Question number 10, you know what will put you in a position to get noticed at work and get promoted. So how do you get noticed at work? This is after you've landed the dream job, because it's not enough to land it. You actually want to be able to get it, succeed in it, and get promoted. Assuming you want to get promoted, it could be lateral, which is a promotion in your eyes, as long as you're feeling like you are growing. So if you have no idea how to get noticed on the job and you've never gotten promoted, you're more around a 2 or 3. If you've recently gotten your dream job, but you've never been promoted, you're maybe around a 6 or a 7. How do you get to a 10? Well, here's the deal. This is how do you get noticed on the job and you get promoted. You do a great job. Step one. Step two is you promote yourself in team meetings, or whenever you meet with your boss, you maybe send an email about a client that was really happy. If you suck at your job, don't promote what you suck at. Shut up and work hard until you're good at it. And if you're not good at it, never promote and quit and change your job, or make a change, or talk to your boss. But don't promote what you're not good at. The number of people I meet who want to get promoted before they're good at what they already do blows my mind. I don't get it. So get good and then get promoting yourself. Interestingly enough, on Friday and Saturday this coming week, this is a little plug for a student conference called Young Women in Business. It's a beautiful conference. It's for women motivated to get into business. There's actually going to be great guest speakers. We're going to have men and women there. I'll be there. If you want to meet myself, I'll be there on Saturday from 12 to 1:30. I'll be facilitating a conversation between a series of men who'll be on stage, including Lululemon founder Chuck Wilson. So we're excited about that. And we're going to be asking them what women do in their careers to possibly hurt their progress, and more specifically, what they can do to mitigate that, not do that, to compete at what they love to do. And sometimes they make mistakes they don't even realize they're making simply because of the gender or what they've grown up with or what society thinks they should do and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be a great event. Google Young Women in Business, register, go to the event, student-run, nonprofit conference. It's just beautiful. Go, go, go. And if you wish to meet myself, please come by and say hello. My goodness. This time has absolutely flown by. I've done one public service announcement. I hope that's okay, because I just want to give this quick... I've got to do this. Let's run through this. Question number 11. You know how to make a career change with little experience in an industry. If you want to make a career change and you have no idea how, you're at number 3. If you do know how to make the career change, number 9. Here's a trick. This is what I did. I went from hell. I hated my job in finance to finding what I loved in terms of teaching. And I did two things, best things I ever did. Took a night course in the industry I was interested in, learned, spoke to the professor who had a lot of contacts and people in the classroom who also had contacts. Two is I volunteered in the industry I wanted to work for. Brilliant. Best thing I ever did. Question number 12. You know how women and immigrants can use diversity to their advantage. There's tons of studies out there that indicate why women, and if you have a diverse background, if you're new to the country, an immigrant, whatever, that you offer diversity in two areas. One is because you understand the buying habits of your particular segment. And two is the key to innovation is bringing an alternative perspectives on a problem that seems very commonplace. That's what innovation is. Innovation is not inventing anything new. It's just bringing in new components to what already exists to create the new. Does that make sense? So if you don't know, if you're, let's say, a woman or an immigrant or some of different background, I don't know, whatever you think you're different to, then you can offer that as an advantage in your approach. Okay. I want you to add up those first 12 questions. Then, so you add those up. And then in section B, which is 13, 14, 15, it's still on a scale of 1 to 10. I want you to answer on a scale of 1 to 10, and you're going to subtract the answer, the addition of 13, 14, 15. So question number 13, you are afraid of making the wrong choice in your career. If you are highly, very afraid of making a choice, you're around an 8 or a 9. If you're not afraid, you're around a 2. Question 14, fear is playing a factor in your ability to take steps to go after what you want. So you're controlled by fear. If it's you are 9, if you're not and fear is not an issue, you're at 2 or 3. When making a decision, this is the last question. After you make it, do you second guess yourself? And this is in general. Do you second guess decision making? If you do, it's 8 or 9. If it isn't, it's 2 or 3. So add up all the scores to 1 through 12, subtract scores to 13 through 15. If you get a number that is below 75, you need help. and you must listen to next week's show. We just covered the dream job quiz, covered the 99 things you wish you knew before giving up on your dream job. This is Philippe DeRoche, Career Fast Track. Thank you for being here with us. If you missed it, or you want more, or you want to